Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with John Schlitt, and we are talking about your newest album, The Greater Cause, but there's so much more to talk about. We were going to talk about God's providence in your life.
Oh, praise God.
And so I'll start with the first and work towards the back and make this kind of like a dialogue.
Okay.
Bio.
All right.
And then I have some more questions.
Okay.
So currently you're working on a solo album. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
The Greater Cause?
The Christmas.
Oh, the Christmas album.
Yes,
okay.
Christmas.
You are starting from the front going backwards. All right,
yes.
Cool. Have a new Christmas album. As we speak, I'm going in tomorrow and start recording the basic tracks, which means I sit around and watch everybody else work. But it's exciting. It was financed through Kickstarter, which is an amazing program. We're basically, in this case, 400 donors decided to invest in my project and in return got things back, mm-hmm. including downloads and advanced CDs, mm-hmm. and this kind of thing. But I love this process. It allows me to finance a record I couldn't afford, mm-hmm. not the quality that I want to do, with people that believe in me, and it's really encouraging. It really is. And so I have an awesome responsibility to make sure that this record comes across, if nothing else, but for those 400 people that believed
That's
in me.
That's right.
So I'm looking forward to doing it'll be probably mostly traditional songs that everyone hears on Christmas, mm-hmm. but it'll probably be done a little different way than what you're normally hearing, which is what an artist is supposed to do.
That's
you know?
Right.
It won't be Barry Como or what, you know, it won't be one of those, but it'll be my style. Maybe the same songs, but my style and different. And who would ever try to do some of these traditionals? Who would ever try to compete with those? You're not supposed to. I think Christmas music is a beautiful time of about mm-hmm. 4 or 8 weeks to hear these kind of songs that are dedicated to the birth of Christ. And I really wanted to be part of that, and I've never had a chance to. So it just so happens that this year I am, and I'm really excited about it.
Now, the album that we're promoting today, The Greater Cause, mm-hmm. this is your fourth solo album. You really didn't start out as a soloist.
No. I started out with a group called Petra, and I was with them for 20 years. But during that 20 years, I also was blessed enough to have my own solo career. I started it about 13 years into Petra's ministry. I started my own solo career and had two albums called The Shake and Unfit for Swine. And then I took I know that title every time I said I regret that title.
I love that title.
It wasn't my idea.
Unfit for Swine?
Yes. You
well,
like it?
Yeah, isn't it a spiritual yes. analogy?
Yes, it is. But not everybody understands that. But but then I had to take over Petra's live part. You know, Bob Hartman, who is the founder of Petra, left the road to homeschool this child. And so,
see, that's our connection with homeschooling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he wouldn't have any other way. Homeschooling, mm-hmm. I think it really helped his son. His son's a fine young man, about 6'6", about 300 pounds, and you don't want to mess with him. But he's also a very intelligent mm-hmm. young man, and it's very cool. And I think it's because Bob and Kim cared that much.
What a sacrifice, you know?
Absolutely. And he did. He sacrificed 7 years on the road, which were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And but I took that over, and it became my responsibility. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so I had to really slow down my solo career to a point of it didn't exist for a while. You know, I'd go out and do solo dates every once in a while, but not.
Yes.
So when Petra retired at the New Year's of 2005-2006, the first thing I thought of was, what am I going to do? You know, I've been with Petra for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? And really, I struggled with that for about a year or 2 years, because during that two-year period, Bob and I put together something called Two Guys from Petra, which was just regular praise and worship songs that we did our way. They weren't Petra songs. They were, you know, traditional praise and worship songs that we did our way. And during that time, I was still struggling, trying to find out what I was supposed to write, you know, how what I was supposed to do for my next solo record. And finally, I felt like God said, you know, I was asking God, he says, what's important to you now? And that was family, believe it or not, a little bit of politics, the treatment of Christ from the world. And all these came just, and because of that, all the subject matter of the grafting came through that way. And it was like, it was a rock record, but not that rock. It was a very mellow record. And when I finally came into realizing that I needed to do another record, my fourth record, a lot of people had heard the grafting and were happy with it, but it wasn't a rock record. And everybody said, you got to do a rock record, John. You got to do a rock record. And I said, you know what? You're right, I do. So I was absolutely ready to do the greater cause. And it was a compilation of 11 songs, all dedicated to a Christ-centered subject or Christ himself. And I was very happy with the outcome. It was just truly amazing.
So the album that I'm holding in my hand, mm-hmm. The Greater Cause.
Yes.
It's almost like an anthem type. I mean, it's Live It Loud, Take Me Home, Love Won't Leave Me Alone, One of These Days, Faith and Freedom, End of Fear.
Yeah.
Great, great titles. Where
and,
I Want to Be.
These are all, were all co-written with me and my son-in-law, my producer, Dan. And we had some great co-writers. I mean, for some reason, God opened the door. And when we announced that we were going to do this record, we explained the type of music was going to be in this. And, you know, when we were getting the musicians to sign up, and that wasn't hard. We have a lot of friends, so it was really just who we were going to choose. So they knew that the record was coming. And also, we were getting calls from top-notch A writers going, God, we want to write for this record. And I'm going, guys, it's on my own label. I don't really think it's going to do that. You know, it's going to do the best I can, but I'm on my own label. So we don't care. We want to be part of it. And it turned out ridiculous. It's a great record. It probably is one of the best records I've ever been part of. So I'm very proud of it, of course. And again, it was financed through Kickstarter. We had 500 partners that got to watch the whole process as it started. There was a special website, which we're also having for the Christmas album, where they could, I tried to keep it up every day. We had pictures of the musicians that were playing that day, pictures of Dan, my producer, and myself sitting around clowning around this. You know, it made it very personal. Mm-hmm. They could go to that website every day and go, now what did I invest in? Okay,
yes.
All right, good. And
yes.
It was an adventure for them as much as for me. They got to be part of it for, oh my gosh, 3-4 months. So it was a beautiful thing. I mean, if you invested just to get a download, which was like $10, you still got to be part of it for over 6 months or for 4 months. So I think that was a pretty cool investment. The chance was it going to be a good record?
Yes.
And the truth is, they believed me that it would be, and I think everyone was very pleased and satisfied.
I think it's a lovely idea. So Kickstarter.
It's Kickstarter.com. It's financing through the internet. And what's very neat about it is you have to set a goal. And what you do is you set a goal that you know if you have that much money, you're going to be able to complete what you promised.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't hit that goal, nothing. They basically it's a promise, almost a promissory note through credit cards that if you hit that goal, they take it out of your credit card or out of whatever kind of payment you have. If you don't hit that goal, nothing's ever taken out. Nobody loses anything. And I don't have like half the money to perform a promise that I can't do.
Yeah.
So I think it's a wonderful idea. I think but the return, the real return, was the partnership afterwards.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes.
I had 500, for this record, I had 500 partners that talked about this record before it ever even got started being recorded.
Yes.
And then with the internet now, with the tweeting and the Twitter and all that, the Facebook and all this retweeting and this kind of stuff, You can't buy that kind of advertising. You can't afford that kind of advertising anymore. Back in the good old days when you had to go to a magazine to get this kind of quality, you still didn't get that good of quality. Mm-hmm. So in a roundabout way, although I think computers were very important cause of destroying music as we see it today, the music business, on the other hand, I think the survivors were the ones that said, okay, it can't do it this way anymore.
Yes,
I still want to do
that's
it.
That's right.
How do we do it now?
Mm-hmm. Have to be innovative and creative.
Instead of sitting around and whining about it, which I did for a while. I did, because,
well.
You remember the good old days. It was very, very cool. But,
so tell me, how did you get to be on the Mike Huckabee Show?
I did a song off of this album. You read it. It's called Faith and Freedom. And it's a very political song because I truly believe this country exists because of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in freedom. My father almost died supporting it, defending it in World War II. And although I've never been part of the armed service, I still watch every one of these kids that come back home. And during the Vietnam War, I remember that, and being criticized and beat up and just all these things. It just bothered me a lot. And so I've become a little bit more political. And I wrote a song about the fact that I believe that faith and freedom for this country is the only answer. Well, the Faith and Freedom Coalition heard the song. And they said, this is a great song. We'd love. And they had a convention going on in Atlanta. And so I went and sang this song as their theme song. And Mike Huckabee was one of the speakers. And I told the host, I says, listen, I know you've got a lot of guests, but really the only one I'd really love to meet is Mike Huckabee. And they said, well, okay, I think we can do that. And that's good I said it, because he never even went to the green room where everybody else was. He had to go in, make a speech, and run out with a car waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting in the green room just sort of minding my own business, trying to stay out of the way, because there was major political figures in just filling this green room. I'm going, what am I doing here? I'm just a singer. What, So they grabbed me and said, John, come. Mike wants to meet you. I said, he does? Come on. So I went to shake his hand, and I was going to say, Mike, I appreciate it. He says, John, I appreciate everything. You guys have made a difference in this world. I thank you. I'm going, wow, thank you. I wanted to say the same thing to you. And so he said, we got to get you on my show. I said, sure enough, absolutely. And so, my team wouldn't let that drop.
Yes.
And so very quickly afterwards, I got on the radio show, and he was a gracious host and asked me some questions I wanted to answer and some that I didn't necessarily want to. But I think it worked out really well. It was a very cool thing to do.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about the title of your song called The Gift.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Joel, and I'm going to talk to you about pace. Are you the one that people always have to wait for? Do you ask yourself why other people are going so fast? Well, it's normal to be or think this, because in life we need to go on our own pace or find out the pace that works best for us. If we don't, we could end up being very stressful and at a young age grow gray hairs or even get a heart attack. Our life is like a race. So don't feel ashamed if your pace is slower or faster than others. Your pace should benefit you in your race, so don't go too fast if you won't last.
This teen topic has been written and recorded by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information, go to www.hva-edu.com, 301-739-8480.
Welcome back. I'm here with John Schlitt, and we're talking about your latest album, The Greater Cause, and also building around the story of your life, which is so inspirational. I promise listeners we talk about one of the songs in this new album called The Gift. And in parentheses, it says Dorla's song. Your story isn't complete without talking about her.
My wife, absolutely. when we recorded this album, it was our 40th wedding anniversary, or 40th anniversary that year. And I've always wanted to write a song about my wife. I mean, you know, I talk about her all the time. I try to bring her as much as possible. She's so busy, she's never able to come. But I knew this record was going to be special. I really did. I knew that this was going to be one of my favorite albums. And I wanted to make sure that I wrote a song for her on this record. So it was the last song we wrote because I was scared to write it. Why do you think I waited 40 years to do it? You know, it was one of those things where how do you put in how many words, 150 words, I don't know how many words are in a song, 40 years worth of appreciation. And it just so happened my son-in-law, my producer, and a good friend of ours who's a great writer, we sat down and I said, guys, this is what I want to say. And they looked at me and said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and they're all three married, of course, my son-in-law and my daughter. And we all sort of sat, yes, yeah. And they thought about Dorla. They all knew mm-hmm. Dorla. And I said, you know, I believe she's a gift. I believe she's a gift from God. I want to say something like that. Mm-hmm. And she goes, okay. And so we started, and it just came. It came in no time. I mean, it was that whole song was done in a day. And when I say a day, I'm talking hours, not many hours, but a few hours. And I was so – I couldn't say anything but thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me finish what I was fearful to do for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy with it, very happy with the end results. And it's the most – it's probably the most intimate song I've ever sang because it's me, an acoustic guitar, and a cello. That's it. No drums, no background vocals, nothing. And I was – and it was the perfect sound for the song.
So let's go back to when you first met Dorla.
Mm-hmm.
And just take our listeners a little bit through your life, the downs and the ups. And it's such a story of grace.
Well, yes, 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 most certainly. That's the only reason I'm here, because of grace. I married my hometown sweetheart. And when I say it, she was the prettiest girl in the school. And we went through grade school, didn't, because she was a year younger than me, didn't care a bit, because back then you didn't talk to girls a year younger than you. Got in high school, everything changed. And I think she was the prettiest girl, smartest girl in school. And I said, you know, I'm not going to settle for anything less. And so I really tried very hard to make my presence known, and praise God, she was okay with that, and so we went together. We couldn't date because until she was 16, and that's okay, I'll honor that. So, but we could hold hands in school. We weren't supposed to, and that kind of stuff. But you know, that kind of hometown stuff. So when I went to college, she was determined to go to my college next, and her parents were, no, don't go to that college. Go to a different college. You need to meet more guys. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
In other words, her parents were that excited about me at the time, but she was determined to go to the same college. And it's just, you know, we went together for 6 years before we got married, and we've been married for 42 years coming up. And the first 10 years of marriage, I was a piece of work. I was not cool. I was the most, how to put it, I was the most undeserving of a lady like her that you could possibly be. I was a rocker at that. By this time, I'd finished college. We both finished college, got married and finished college. That was good times. Then I got into the secular rock and got very busy and then started copping an attitude of success. And was a worthless husband. By this time, I'm a father, too. By the end of it, by 1980, I was a father of two fantastic kids who were raised well because they had a great mother. And when I finally got kicked out of my band, my secular band, because I was too much of an alcoholic, too much of a coke freak, and these guys are all that, too, but apparently not as bad as me because they kicked me out, I went on a binge that almost killed me. And my wife, we neither one of us were Christians at the time, but we started going to church because we wanted our son, our youngest, to get baptized. That was the only reason we went, started going to church, so our son would, we'd have a home church to go to, and our son would get baptized. And I started, I was going, you know, this church thing, it's okay. I'm liking church because I always pray to God. I believed in God absolutely. Did I know Jesus? No. But I believe in God. But as we all know now, that's, you could believe anything can be God, you know. But when you start bringing in Christ, then you become a Christian. I didn't know who Christ was at the time. So when I got fired, I went on a binge, a drunk, drugged out, alcoholic binge for 6 months. Mm. And that same 6 month period, my wife gets saved, which, looking back, doesn't surprise me a bit, because she was absolutely ready. She was ready for a change. She saw that what we were doing wasn't cool, and she was wise enough to start looking in the right direction. And she became a Christian during this 6 month period that I was in my down and out time, my pity party time, my any excuse to stay drunk and high time. Mm-hmm. And she'd come and try to tell me about Christ, and I'd say, "Get on my face! I don't want to hear about this Jesus thing. I'm a rock star. I don't want to," you know, mm-hmm. the typical attitude of the world. If you're a Christian, you can't have any more fun. Everything's doom and gloom. No, but at the end of that 6 month period, I woke up one day, and my son was looking at me. Like, who are you? I'd done something the night before that I don't know what it was, but apparently it was pretty bad. And he was looking at me like, who are you? And I'm going, oh my gosh, the animal that's on stage is coming home. And all of a sudden the voice goes, you know, you're worth dead more than alive. Mm. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. Mm. And I sat in my chair in the living room. I'd passed out on the couch in the living room. I'd never done that before. And that's why my son was looking at me like, what are you doing here? And so I was sitting in my chair watching my kids play, and I said, okay, I'm not going to use a gun. I started contemplating what kind of pills I should take to make it as fast and painless as possible. And my wife taps me on the shoulder, says, John, remember, you promised you'd come and talk to my pastor tonight. I said, when? She goes, last night when you were drunk. So I wasn't going to argue with it, but I went in with an attitude nothing was going to change, but I wanted her to remember that I tried, because mm-hmm. I still had full intentions of finishing things off that I was thinking about that morning. And I walked in with an attitude, and I walked out with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
My life changed. My value system totally changed. I realized just how valuable my family was. I really did love them and value them before, mm-hmm. but all the other garbage was in the way. Where all of a sudden I became a Christian and all the other garbage sort of disappeared or didn't mean anything mm-hmm. anymore. And God, I feel like the first thing God ever said to me, okay, those treasures you've been looking for so long, here they are. I've been taking care of them. Now you mm-hmm. start. And I took it to heart. And it was the beginning of a new life for me. And hopefully my wife will say it's a beginning. It was the beginning of a new life for her.
Amen. What a wonderful testimony to conclude our show. Please go to John's website. It's johnslit.com.
And it's johnwschlit.com.
johnwschlit.com. And check out his new album, The Greater Cause, John, J-O-H-N-W, Schlitt, S-C-H-L-I-T-T.com. Thank you so much. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Oh, thank you. You too. And God bless all our listeners.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.